Is Manun Zion. We have two more Sukkim. Pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. Oid Chavamim, W here follows up on thanking Hashem for giving him the koyach not to overreact. Can you hear me, by the way? Because my computer seems to be. My computer seems over here to be malfunctioning a little bit, but it's all right. Oid Chavamim Hashem, Azamercha Ba'alumim, I will thank you, Hashem. I will sing to you amongst the nations. Okay, let's do the two Pesukim, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki Godol Ad Shamayim Chastecha, great until the heavens is your kindness. V'ad Shechakim Amitecha, the word Shechakim is another word for heavens. It is a synonym of the word heavens. What exactly is the chilik between Shamayim and Shechakim? I do not know. I would assume it's a higher level. We do know that there are many different levels of heavens. There are many, many different, we say Shema Hashem Elohim Hashem Echad. There's a tradition which I think that Moshe Feinstein says is not correct, but it's, everyone says it is that when you say Echad, you're supposed to think Aleph is Hashem is one, Ches Hashem is above the seven heavens. Right. We have a tradition, right. There are seven heavens, and Hashem is eight. Right. He's above that. Dalit on all four corners of the world. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe says there's no Mekor anywhere, B'chola Torah Kula, that this idea that Hashem is above, I don't know exactly what he says. But
the Gemara says.
Yeah.
Maybe to connect it. Seven levels, then it's really eight, but we don't list the seven, and it's really eight, but we don't focus.
Hashem is above the seven heavens.
Yeah.
Echad. People think when you say the word Echad, if you're sophisticated, when you have Kavana, Aleph Hashem is one, Ches Hashem is above the seven heavens, Dal Hashem is all four corners of the world. Okay, so Gadol, we want to welcome good morning to the other Mordechai. We call the other Mordechai. There's the Mordechai, and there's the other Mordechai. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Miyad Dvarai. Mordechai HaYehudi. Shechakim over here is another heaven. Shechakim is heaven. When you contrast the word Shemayim and Shechakim, you're obviously contrasting two different layers, two different levels of heaven. There's a heaven that we can see, and there's a heaven that goes way beyond. Okay, Ruma al Shemayim Elokim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exalted. So we're going to see over here in the Mefarshim, the Medrash over here touched upon that idea, Ad, we'll see that in one moment, very good. Okay, there's, like we said before, in the Kelmole, there are two different gears source in the Kelmole. It's as Tachas Kanfei HaShechina or Al Kanfei HaShechina. Yachsirei Olukim, Rav Menachem, you do this very often. What do you say? They say Al. Even though in the Siddur it says, it says Tachas, whatever, so they're two different gear sites. Okay. So, Ruma on Pasuk Yud Beis, Ruma Al Shemayim Elokim, Nachmal word Shemayim, Ruma, lift yourself up upon heavens, Elokim, Al Kol Ha'aretz Kivaydecha. Upon all of the earth is your honor. This pasuk is a repeat. It's a repeat from pasuk vav. Go back to pasuk vav. Ruma al Hashem Elokim al kol aretz kivodecha. Okay, so we have over here repetition. What's the purpose of repetition? Let's see the mefarshim. Let's first see the mitzvos. It's repetition. Pasuk good. Pasuk good. Back on page 502. Oid chavamim lefarsem shivachech. I will praise you amongst the nations to make known, publicize your praise. Okay, persume nisa. David over here is introducing the concept of persume nisa. We want to welcome Safta. Safta, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome to America.
He was away.
He was on vacation. Dacha. Okay, so over here we have God Hashem. Hashem over here is great. Pirsume Nisa, very appropriate for Erev Purim. Pirsume Nisa, to be Mepharsim, Pirsim amongst all of the nations. And then we have over here, Ki God Hashem is great, Ad Hashemayim, Chastech V'al Shom, Yomitech Pasuk Yiraf, and the Mitzud is David. Ki God Hashem, HaChesed V'ho Emes, the Chesed and the Emes. I'm on page 504. Mitsudoy Stavit, the middle of the page, towards the bottom. Achesed ve'emes hanasa li godlo al ha-shamayim. It is great until the heavens. Umeharoy lefarsim. Also, it is fitting to be mefarsim, to publicize the kindness. Who is he publicizing the kindness for? Well, in the previous in pasuk, he says amongst the nations. Pasuk Yudbeis, Zeruma, Oz then. So here he says something then. When's then? I guess in the future, after David makes it well known, Yiroimam tif artucha al hashmaim v'yiroeh kivaydecha al kol haaretz bavur goydel hateshua. So the Mitzudos learns, we're going back to salvation. When you, Hashem, will save me, then you will be exalted among the heaven and the earth. And we go back to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav is exactly the same Pasuk there. There, the Mitzudah is on page 500, the very, very bottom of the page. Rumor return Elohim, Asay b'chem nokam uvezeh yiroimam tif artecha. Allah shemayim v'yala oretz yiroech v'aydecha ki kesha Hashem oitz adin b'rashoyim oz misroimim u'misnasei. So it's the same pasuk. I guess this poetry in the fact that it repeats in two different contexts in the same mizmar. The first time it's a bakosha, it is a request. And here, at the end of the mizmor, it is a statement of fact. He's saying, Ruma Hashem, I beg you to punish them. And the rule is, when the world sees wicked people punished, it impresses upon them that there's din v'cheshboin in this world. There is accountability. And when people see accountability, this is the ultimate kiddush Hashem. Yisro was very impressed. Ki ato yodati ki godol Hashem mikol holokim ki v'adavar shazodu alehem. When there's accountability, the Egyptians, they tried to drown the Jewish people in the Yam, in the Ar, and they were punished mida k'neged mida. It awakened him. It made an impression upon him. When the goyim see that there is accountability and there is mida k'neged mida, this brings kiddush shem shon. Pasuk vav, David is begging Hashem, the way you will elevate, you will bring your greatness into this world is by punishing the wicked. And here in pasuk yud beis, he's not saying it as a request, punish them, and thus you will, your name will be elevated. He's making it a statement of fact that when you will come to my rescue, it's going to happen. And when you'll come to rescue, it's natural that your name will be exalted amongst the world. The world will come to appreciate your greatness.
So Goyim and bad Jews are treated the same.
What do you mean?
No. Evil people in the world.
Evil. Well,
whether you're a Jew or not a Jew.
Well, there are evil Jews. Dasan va'aviram koirach. We have our
same treatment.
Esau, what? Right?
Same treatment.
Only Hashem can judge. No, only Hashem. Avilus. Everyone. That's only for Hashem to judge. Everyone is different.
David is requesting the same treatment.
Yeah, he's requesting that they be eliminated. David is requesting that Shaul, Avner, Amasa, Achitofel, the Zifim, the Anshei Kila, and who else? All the cast of characters that are evil, they be eliminated. And when they will be eliminated, the world will pay attention. And we'll see Hashem's greatness, that there is din v'cheshbon, there's no free lunch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching, he's keeping track, he's keeping score, and he will ultimately pay. Now, this idea that the world, do we really care about what the world has to say? You look around today, you look today, there's almost no one to talk to. There's no one to talk to. The goyim, do they really care? Like, we talk about this many times during the Holocaust. They talk about these stories. I don't like these stories. They talk about the Nazis, and they were about to kill some Jews, and Jews they said animamim b'mun shalema, and they did incredible things, and there are these many stories where the Nazis were very impressed, and they said, we've just killed angels. All these stories. Now, what did the Nazis do 5 minutes after they saw the ultimate Kiddush Shem Shamayim? What did they do 5 minutes later? They went back to kill more Jews. Right? They saw, they took Jews out to kill them, and they saw the Jews be Mekabel Omal Chashamayim, animamim, and unbelievable things. And they made a roshim on them. And then 5 minutes later, what happened? Back to killing the same sadistic, nasty, bitter, wicked, ultimate wicked. So I understand, what's the purpose of a Kiddush Shem Shemayim there? You're dealing over here with literally animals. The impression made upon them is a fleeting moment. Back business as usual. Business as usual. So what's going on over here? So the Pasuk really says the answer to the question. V'nikdashti besoich b'nei Yisrael. The Kiddush Shem Shemayim that these people made is today. Where are these Nazis today? Where are they today? They went 5 minutes after they killed these Jews and they witnessed firsthand the Kiddush Shem Shemayim. They went back to killing more Jews. And then what happened? I don't know. Ultimately, they died. They died, they were killed, or they died, or they moved to Argentina. What happened to them? They're dead. They're dead, gone, however they... So what was the goal of the Kiddush? What did it lead to? So you want to go tell me, in their neshama, really? So what's the purpose of all this? What's the great Kiddush Hashem? What difference does it make? The answer is, v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. The fact that today we who care, to whom it makes an impression, are talking about this story, that's the Kiddush Shem Shemayim. When you relate amongst Achenu b'nei Yisrael,
it's an internal matter. With David HaMelech, these are internal matters that would impress the rest of Klal Yisrael.
Oh,
if it's something like Kriyas Yamsuf, or it's something spectacular, then that might impress the world.
Oh, so here in this Mizmah he says, Azamercha v'le'umim, amongst the nations of the world. So the question is, David over here does seem to be to have an audience to talk to whom doesn't make a difference. Today, you don't get that impression. Today, you don't get an impression that the Goyim, there's literally anyone to talk to. They talk about, during the earthquake in Turkey, so the IDF, they sent an elite group to rescue team, and they did incredible things. And they were very thankful that the people who were rescued and the families, they wrote up an article, they were extremely thankful. What a Kiddush Hashem. Yeah, and now what?
And then they had to run for their lives.
And now what? Yeah, what difference does it make? The world really cares? They wrote this up maybe in Mishpacha magazine. Did they write this up in the New York Times? I don't think so. They write in the Wall Street Journal? Not likely. Okay, they can kill the government, the government kill less, couldn't kill less. There's no one to talk to. The goyim today are so far gone. This massive, Kiddush Hashem. What a Kiddush Hashem. Okay, yeah, okay, you can't say it's not a Kiddush Hashem. Someone goes and he buys a desk and he finds in the drawer $50,000. And he goes and he calls up the owner of the desk. Oh, you know, you left in the drawer in the secret compartment $50,000 cash. So you're dealing with a person who's really far gone, okay, a Gentile, and like, that's very nice, so nice and kind, honest that you returned it, that you returned it.
15 minutes of Kiddush Hashem.
Not even 15 minutes of Kiddush Hashem. I had this week. I had with Amazon. Okay, I ordered a package. It wasn't a few dollars. And now Amazon is very sophisticated. They send me a picture. They send you a picture. They deliver. So I get an email. Oh, your package has been delivered. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
So and in the email, it shows me a picture of the package at the door, at my door. So I look at the picture, and guess that's not my home. That's not where I live. I don't even recognize that house on the block. I have no idea. So I email, so they have now very good, they've improved themselves very, very much, Amazon, very impressed, because there used to be no one to talk to. Now, on the bottom of the page, help, you can actually, you call them, you can speak to a real human being. So I called them up, and I said, you know, it's very nice, thank you for the package, but the picture is not my home, and I didn't get anything. Oh, we're sorry, no problem, don't worry. Well, yeah, what do you want to do? Should we reorder it for you, or should we just give you credit to your account? So I said, just give credit to my account. Just give credit to the account. And then I come home later in the evening. Okay, I come later in the evening. Guess what's by the door?
Package.
The package. How'd it get there? Oh, by the way, it was open. The package was opened, and then it was resealed. So it must have been the person who they sent it to thought it was for them, opened it up, saw, I never ordered this, and was very kind. Either they delivered it back, or they called up, I don't know, it's there. So I called up Amazon, and I said to Amazon, you know, guess what? I told them the whole story, the package came. So they said to me, thank you for your honesty, but keep it. And there's nothing, it's already been reported lost, and there's nothing we can do. I said, I don't want to cause the person the loss of money. I said, oh, don't worry, it's okay. They're not lost. Thank you for your honesty. Have a nice day. So, they gave back the money. So, like, is there a kid? No, they don't even know I'm Jewish. They don't know I'm Jewish. I don't know. You're talking to someone. It sounds like I'm talking to someone who knows where, in Indonesia, who knows I'm talking to. And, like, so who's the Kiddush Hashem for? What's the Kiddush Hashem over here all about? V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. The Iker Kiddush Hashem, the Goyim, are just an object. They're just a tool for us to make a Kiddush Hashem to ourself and amongst us. Because the Goyim, yeah, it's very nice, the Kiddush Hashem, it's very nice, and like someone here said, 15 minutes of Kiddush Hashem. 15 minutes of fame. 15 minutes of Kiddush Hashem. To what degree, I don't know, you don't know, maybe I remember Rabbi Wilderstein, Rabbi Pesach Kron said over the story, it's a very nice story about Sheila Feinstein. Rebbetzin Sheila Feinstein, you know, Allah HaShalom. So what was the mice? The mice was, there was a Rav, a very, just a Pesach Kron said over the story, to me the story is so bizarre, there was a very Choshev Talmud Chacham who got into a fender bender. Were on the way to yeshiva one day. So he got out of the car and he damaged this woman, a Gentile, this woman's car. And he said to her, do me a toiva. Don't call the police. Do me a favor. Don't call the police. Because then they're going to come and it's going to go on my record and the insurance, let me pay you out of pocket for the damage. You assess it, bring it to your whatever it is, and I'll pay whatever it costs. So she said, fine. I trust you. So she went to the mechanic. She went to her whatever, and they evaluated the damage. They charge a lot of money, $1,000. That makes $1,000. And then he said, "Can you do me a favor?" Like, the whole crazy story. You know, don't go to your mechanic. Go to my mechanic because he's a firm guy. He'll do it for me a lot. He'll do it for half the price. Okay, fine. So she went to his mechanic. It's a guy. And indeed he gave here. Then he says to her, do me a favor, I can't pay it out in one shot. Can I pay it out? Can I pay it out over time? Over make small and payment over time, whatever the money was. So she said, yeah. And it could be there's even more to the store. Finally, after the long period of time, he gave her the last payment. And now he was clear. So then he said, can I ask you a question? What were you thinking? You trusted me. I would never trust someone like this. I was really in a very desperate matzav, you know, a situation. You don't understand how much pressure I'm on. I don't have any money. And I asked you, and in every step of the way, you said yes. It doesn't appear that you're a wealthy person, whatever. Why did you trust me? What were you thinking? Now it was all of you. He paid up the whole thing. Everything was finished. So he said, well, I'll tell you why. I really wouldn't. But you know, I saw you're an Orthodox Jew. I work in the public school system. And there's a woman there, there's an Orthodox woman there, her name is Sheila Feinstein.
She's the principal.
Right, she was the principal. She's Orthodox Jew, just like you. And I work with her all these years, and I'm so impressed by her integrity, her honesty, and what kind of person she is. And I assume, and I see other Orthodox Jews are similar, so I knew I can trust you all the way. So that's Pesach Kron said over the story. I heard my own ear say over the story. He told me over the story. So, you know, that's a Kiddush Hashem. That is a Kiddush Hashem, which wasn't a 15-minute Kiddush Hashem. That was a Kiddush Hashem that really went.
Very rare.
There's a guy climbing in Burakah. His wife was going to give birth. So
He put her in the car and he ran
the tunnel.
And he came to the tunnel and he didn't have money to pay. He says, I'll pay on the way back. I have to take her to the hospital. He said, okay. And then on the way, a day later or 2 days later, he comes back, he pulls over and he says, I owe you money. So the guy says, who's all the other guards? He says, hey, listen, pay up. I told you he would come back.
Wow.
There's a famous story about the post minister in that European town with Viato Paolesti. Where, you know, he came back, you know, I really owe you money. You gave me back more change.
But today, these stories are so weird. The guy, it doesn't really, the average, I remember
that's
they do it.
Yeah.
But like, I remember there was a story, there was a young man, he bought a used desk, and he found
that
a...
That was all over the news.
Right. So they interviewed the person.
$95,000.
Right. The woman doesn't seem like it really made a dent in her. I'm sorry. I vaguely remember. It was a very nice thing he did, but it doesn't really seem that the woman who he gave the money back to, she was on a level where it even made a dent.
Yeah. Well, maybe she was on a level that she was honest.
No, but it...
We don't know.
Right, but the story maybe someone else was impressed.
Yeah.
You just get a little bit more. She told her priest about this. And he got involved.
Oh, yeah? Okay, so you never know. You never know. But you read these stories about the Nazis. They went back to killing. And then they're dead. So there's a very important element of Kiddush Hashem. It's about us. V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. You did the right thing. Forget about the Goyim.
What Rabbi Albert says on Shemot.
Who said v'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael?
Hashem!
What did we say? L'mancha aseh.
For your sake. Right.
To Shiyeh mamash kiddush Hashem, lo kiddush Yisrael. Hashem. Mancha Hashem and Hashem aseh v'lo lan.
For Hashem's sake. When you do a kiddush Hashem, the focus is not the goyim, what they're going to say. That, you know, that's hit and miss. That's hit and miss. You go, you get a package. For me, it wasn't a big deal because it wasn't a lot of money. So it would be, you know, a few more dollars. Then it would be a big nesayin. Okay, but when you do a kiddush Hashem, the focus is not, I'm now going to make an impression upon a goy. That is a horrible attitude. You got something, it doesn't belong to you. You have even a computer. A computer. You're dealing with robots today. You call these. No one. Many parties can say many of these situations. Forget about it. There's no one to talk to. You're dealing with an automated world with robots, and it's and yeah. Someone in shul. You know, I have some friends that don't have a computer at home, and they ask me to buy them things sometimes. So he asked me to buy him something. It was a very cheap thing. Well, it was like $15, whatever. So of course I bought it him, and then I give it to him, and he says to me, you know, this is not what I wanted. He says, is it possible to send it back? So I said, yeah, no big deal. You know, I go and have the movie. I do so sometimes. You know, you just print up the label, and I know eventually after 90 days I'll pass by Avenue and I'll drop it off, and you know you do it. He says, yeah, no problem. Don't worry about it. I don't want to, you know. So he doesn't have money, this person. So I go and I press the button on Amazon, and they say to print the label to return it, keep it. It's not worth it for us to pay the expense of having it returned and restocking it. Just keep it. No, they said, they told me, oh. Very excellent. So who is it? Is it mine or is it his? Is it mine? It's a very good child. So what happened with it? I gave it to my nephew, I gave it to my 3-year-old nephew as a toy. That was the end. He happened to be visiting, and oh, look what I got for you. Oh, what a gedula I gave it to him. I shakha to Rav Shmuel and asked that other person. All right, maybe I'll ask. He had no interest in it. It wasn't what he wanted. But he's saying, Yitaka saying he'd give it to his nephew. Why would he give it to his nephew, right?
Very much share. I got a package on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Not my name. So I looked in the phone book. I still have a whole white pages. Couldn't find the name. So I Googled it. East 94th Street. Minus its 9th.
Oh, okay.
Me.
Very close.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. And I know what Shabbos is. I know the Shabbos. And I'm thinking, let me try to call. They have a number. I tried every single day. Nothing. I said, you know what? If ever I go past there, I got a Levaya today. I'm going to Bell Parkway. I have it in my car to bring it back to them.
Wow.
I'm sure no one will answer the door. I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah, someone else is going to steal it. And no one is going
to
steal it.
Today, Kiddush.
East 9th, and I looked it up, East 94th Street.
Kiddush Hashem today is for yourself. Kiddush Hashem is for yourself. Someone told me about a very big Rosh Shiva. Someone told me about a very big Rosh Shiva many years ago. He made Aliyah. And I said to him, why do you leave? Why do you leave? So he said to me, he was a Talmud by him at that time. He said to me, he had no one to talk to. He says, the generation, he passed away many, many years ago. He was a European. He came to America. In the early years, he had Talmidim that were really... He had someone, an audience. And then as time passed, it became the Vietnam War, the yeshiva, it became more of just like a draft dodger center. And the boys were just not interested in listening. And he didn't have an audience. It was a very big Talmud Chacham. He had no one to talk to.
You go back many years?
Yeah, many, many years. He had no one to talk to. And it frustrated him to such a degree. There's nothing here for me anymore. I obviously had money to live on, obviously. And a person needs an audience. You need an audience. If you have what to give, you have to have someone receiving. When it comes to Kiddush Hashem, we make a mistake and think you have to have an audience to make a Kiddush Hashem. You have to make an audience. So if years ago, you know, the people wasn't so uncommon to find Goyim who had morals, and they're impressed. You do something, wow, you're impressed. Today, I don't know, today you get the impression that when you try to make a Kiddush Hashem, they suspect you of who knows what. They suspect you that you're trying, it's a scam. You're sincere, you make a Kiddush Hashem, wow. That's the answer. The answer is the audience of Kiddush Hashem is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem called Lemancha Elokim. Lemancha. The audience is amongst ourselves. You do the right thing. The audience doesn't have to be the Goyim. When you learn Tehillim, it's a Maila. It's a Maila. Klal Yisrael is an Or Lo Amin. We live in a world today, there's no one to talk to. You almost get this impression that the anti-Semitism and the Goyim are such on a different wavelength. They're busy with all these crazy things. There's no one to talk to. Okay, so we're also busy. Fine, you're right. Okay, no one's... But we get the impression that Kiddush Hashem is defined by having an audience. And when there's no audience, forget it. Not true. There's always an audience. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the... You get a package. It's not my package. Who am I talking to? A computer? I'm talking, everything is automated. There's no Kiddush Hashem. Tell me, if you take it for yourself, Tos Akum, this and this, it's not mine. Now, I'm not telling, you know, every situation, you can't generalize. Every situation is different. You can't generalize. But the Kiddush Hashem, it's not mine. Someone here is losing money. When I return it, if there's a possibility, the person will now get back what his loss. He'll never even know he was a Jew who returned it. Do you feel proud that you're causing someone a loss? How does it affect your midos, your neshama, your attitude of life? You're just looking to scam other people, take advantage of other people? How do you live with yourself? How do you live with yourself when you cause someone else a $30,000 loss? Okay? Someone's losing... you'll tell me, oh, Shulchan Aruch, it says there's something called Tol Sakum. Listen, you have your rabbi, you have your rabbi, everyone has, you know, to each his own. But Kiddush Hashem doesn't necessarily need an audience of goyim. That is not correct. Lamancha Elokim. The audience is Hashem. The audience is yourself. The audience is Klal Yisrael. When someone on Tisha B'Av tells over a story of Kiddush Hashem, that was the Kiddush Hashem. The Nazis, the dead, they're gone. They're gone. It didn't even, it made a dent in them for 10 seconds. What was that worth? You'll say, oh, and they're in the, I don't know. No one can tell. No, we don't know how these, but it certainly doesn't seem to have made much of an impact amongst them. They went on to kill the 5 minutes later. The kid is here. You have a group of people. They're inspired. They hear what people did. V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. That's the Kiddush Hashem. Certainly the person himself who did this, they're in a place, no one can come in there. Mechitzas. That's an understatement. Okay? That was a Kiddush Hashem. But you want to go look at the audience? The audience is here. 75 years later, amongst the people in the room. That's the icing on the cake. Forget about the people. That's the ultimate discussion between you and us. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need an audience. So when you read these psukim in Tehillim very often, David says, amongst the nations of the world, David had an audience. David had an audience. And we all know, you go back years ago, Abba, Ibn. He had an audience. Yeah, the world was listening. He had an audience. Today, if there was an Abba, what's his name? Ibn? Would anyone listen today? Is there anyone listening today? There's no one listening today. You're dealing with morons out there. You're dealing with crazy morons who are busy figuring out to which bathroom should they go into. There's no one to talk to today. They got crazy mishugoyim out there.
We're not
in control of the security situation, and there are people supposedly. Listen, it's a different culture. An American, you can't second guess. The way the politicians in Eretz Yisrael deal with these situations, because we're Americans, and our frame of mind of danger is a world apart from what they go through in Eretz Yisrael. And the whole world doesn't understand. Americans and the Europeans don't understand that. The Middle East is a very dangerous part of the world, and the way you deal with these people, you deal with them on their wavelength. It's not for us to second guess.
I'm trying to understand this.
It's necessity. I don't know. You're talking to the wrong guy. I don't even know the facts well enough. I'm not following it well enough to appreciate the details. And a little bit of time that I've spent in Eretz Yisrael, I always come away with the same conclusion. It's a different culture. It's a different way of thinking. An Arab is not like your typical American guy. It's a different culture, a completely different culture, which the American audience, the goyim, there are 320 million Americans, totally cannot relate to. The Middle East is a different world, and whatever, you have to leave it to the people who live there in the land to make their decisions, what they need to do, and not to second guess them, especially if you're not living there. You're not gonna, it's easy to talk, you know, to the peanut gallery, to go talk to America, like I once heard the Novominsk say, is that you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go there, there's a very big debate about going to the Har Habayis. Okay, there's a lot of halacha, okay, there's this big halacha controversy, and then there's a political controversy. And he was talking about the political controversies. You know, Americans who go, they take the side in halacha that you're allowed to go, and they go. And when they go on the Har Habayis, they provoke the Arabs that are living there, the Muslims that are living there. And then the Americans get on an El Al plane in first class and go back home. And then they sit and they watch on the television all the fireworks. Excuse me, you have no right to make to provoke fireworks and then run away to America and sit on your couch and watch the fireworks. Chutzpah. You want to go, you believe that this is what has to be done. You have to show them that it's ours. So stick it out. Stay there in Eretz and fight. Join the IDF and go fight. Go stick it out. It's not for you, an American, to go to the Har Habayis on a nice tour and provoke them and go home. Go home and sit on your couch. What a chutzpah. And someone else should take the bullet for you. What kind of crazy nonsense is that? You want to go, so go. Live there. Live there and participate in the defense of the land and show them whose land it is. And people in Eretz Yisrael who do go to the Har Habayis, mind your own business. Mind your own business. If they go to the Har Habayis and they have halacha, they have their poskim that say they can do it, and they feel this is necessary to show them it's our land, it's a different frame of mind. Okay, so it's very easy to sit here in America and go and pontificate when we don't suffer the consequences of what's going on over there. The people who live there, they suffer every day. They suffer, they have daigus, they live in danger, and they deal with the political fallout of the need to protect the land and not for Haredim and not going into the army. It's a nightmare. How every angle you look at it, it's just a total nightmare. And we in America don't participate in this nightmare at all in any dimension, so who are we to talk? Who are we to talk? Just be quiet. Shtoik. Send a check and pray. And that's the most you can do. Okay, that's like Avigdor Miller would say, when it comes to your grandchildren, what do you say? There are a couple of rules when it comes to your grandchildren. Number one is, close your mouth. Number two, you close your mouth shut. Number two, open up your wallet. The mouth is closed. For your children, you can open up your mouth and you can say whatever you want. You can beat them up and you can close your wallet and punish them, not giving you any money. Your grandchildren, so not your children. These are your grandchildren. It's not your business. Your mouth is closed and your wallet is open. Of Avigdor Miller, okay? Of Avigdor Miller. Okay, now let's...
Wait. Going back to Kiddush Hashem, Mashed, throughout Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Hashem, Kadesh et Shimcha. Kadesh et Shimcha. He said, Lehagit Yashar Hashem, Yitzuri v'lo avlat habo. Yashar Hashem, Chas v'shalom, Hashem lo yashar? If Kinei or Bechayubedu and Sadiq, Katamar Yisrael, there is no one is here. Oh, as Lehagit Yashar Hashem. אז השם has to לקדש את שמו. השם, not we. We have to לקדש את השם שלנו, our name. השם, שם ישראל. הקדוש ברוך הוא, his job according to David. His job is לקדש את שמו. And throughout the ספר, you said, kill the Rashaim and then do this and use this and give the Tzadikim the reward. Then, that's the
leave it to Hashem. Hashem will ultimately bring about His own glorification. You do yours, don't worry about it. Let Hashem bring out His own glorification. Kiddush Hashem, the ultimate Kiddush Hashem is among the nations, but you need an audience. In the world we live in today, it's very disturbing. You don't get a sense there's an audience out there. You're dealing with zombies. That's, I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken.
You're right.
I don't know. You know, the truth is, a lot of the dirtiness of politics, if I'm correct, nothing really has changed. The only difference is that we live in an information age. We just know about everything today. All the garbage that goes on today has been going on forever. It's just that today, everyone has a smartphone and you have at your fingertips access to all the garbage. So you just know about it. You know about the garbage, but the garbage has been always been like this. What, something has changed in the last, since America was established? It was any different? The dirty politics, founding fathers, it was all the same garbage.
Nature is
we have internet. We have internet, we have smartphones, we have television, so
they
we
had duels in those
days. Yeah, duels that were even more violent to a certain degree.
Right.
Is anti-Semitism? Is it more? We just, you know, it's just how do you the statistics? It's just is the more. There's more reporting. There's more information. Okay. There's more. Okay. So, what do we know? Okay. Let's finish up over here. But this idea is: I will sing to you among the nations. David had an advantage. He obviously had an audience. That's a big thing. To have an audience, people. That's what social media is all about today. An audience. You got an audience. Do you have someone that's actually listening to you? Okay, Gigadol al Shman Chazav. So we did over here the Mitzudais. Did we finish up with the Mitzudais? Yes, we did. Let's see the Rashi. There's not anything in Rashi. Rashi? There's no Rashi. We did all the Rashis. Let's look at the Maimon Chazal. It's a famous Maimon Chazal. The Maimon Chazal over here says, Gigadol ad Shman Chazdecha. Okay, it's on page 504 in the very, very bottom of the page. Ki gadol ad. Okay, we're told over here. Yes, the question over here is it below the heavens or above the heavens? Ki gadol ad shamayim chastecha rov rame. Contradiction. Ksivit says ki gadol ad shamayim chastecha. Ksivit says another pasuk ki gadol me al shamayim chastecha. Two psukim written by the same author, and one it says below the heaven. Your kindness is up until the heavens. And the other pasuk says that your kindness is above the heavens. Haketzat. So the answer is kan ba'isin l'shma v'kan ba'isin shaloy l'shma. Chudav Yehuda, diyamar Rav Yehuda Maraf, la'olam yasek adam b'toyle u'mitzvahs afal pi shaloy l'shma, shem tech shaloy l'shma bo l'shma. So it seems we're saying over here is, it seems, so when, by the way, when the Gemara over here answers, kan is l'shma, kan ba'isin shaloy l'shma. So I think the average person will tell you is that when you do it shaloy l'shma, it's ad shamayim. But when it's l'shma, it's al ha-shamayim. Just the opposite. When you do it shaloy l'shem, what does it mean to do it shaloy l'shem shamayim? Shaloy l'shem shamayim is it's a mitzvah. You doing a chesed? Oh, I'm going to be mevakeh choyle. Why? I couldn't care less about the choyle. I'm going because I'm afraid. Ach, I may have esrim. They're gonna review my schedule. And how come you didn't go? You didn't go to be mevakeh the choyle. How come you didn't go? What kind of person you sava? You didn't check off this box in your tayag mitzvahs.
He's going because people say, oh, he's a good guy.
But
that's why he's not doing it.
Guilty conscience. You're going to check off, you know, this box. They shouldn't get me in Shemaim. When I come to Shemaim, they shouldn't have me. How come you didn't go? So someone actually once proposed a shidduch to someone, and he said to him, I'm only proposing this, remember, said Bepe Moli, is because I'm afraid that when I die, they can have a complaint against me. Why? I couldn't care less about you. I just have a guilty conscience. I'm worried about myself, my own hide. When I come to the next world, I shouldn't go to Gehenim because of you. Because I didn't check off this box. That's Mamish, a very religious person, right? Who says that? A very religious person.
He's playing mind game with you.
A religious person. And then you have a parent that tries to find the shidduch for their child, not because of religious reasons, because they care about their child. Which one is called Lishma? The parent. The ultimate Lishma is when you do something because you care about the person, not because you're worried about yourself. You're selfish. I'm only going and doing a chesed, being mevach, because I'm worried and I come to the next world to check off that box. Do I really care about the chayla? Not really. Couldn't care less. That is the ultimate selfishness. You're worried about yourself, and he's just the problem. Is that what the Torah wants? The Torah wants you to shakel l'shem yichud. You go into him and you say, before I'm a vaker choyle, I have to say l'shem yichud. Especially hiratzon. I came, I found hiratzon milufanach Hashem v'kein l'zeinu l'kid l'yachet shem yudke v'vavke like Avraham Avinu with vaker choyle and this. Okay. Oh, you're the cheftza. You're the cheftza of my mitzvah. Ah. And you look at him. How are you? Oh. Baruch Hashem, now I can go in, I have a guilty conscience. It's a joke! This is what Hashem wants from you. What Hashem wants from you is that you should care about him to such a degree where Hashem is out of the picture. Hashem wants that it should be natural. He's your friend. He's another person. You should care about him as a person because that is the ultimate lishma. So the kan lishma is ad shamayim. Ad shamayim. You go ask your average guy on the street, you go show them this chazal. Go walk on Avenue and hold up the art school to Hillam and stop someone around the show. It says, Rami, contradiction. Can you explain to me which chazal is lishma and which chazal is shaloy lishma? The one that says, al shamayim, above heaven, that's lishma. And the one that's ad shamayim is shaloy lishma. That's what the average guy, wrong. Al shamayim is selfishness. I'm worried about in the Himmel. This world, I couldn't let the world rot. I couldn't care less. This world implodes. I couldn't care less about this world. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to be gone and they're going to go. They're going to put me for din v'cheshbon. I'm so scared. Oh, you're just selfish. This world can rot. You're just worried about your own hide. What's going to happen to you when you get to the next world?
I think that's so terrible. Where do you see that in the Pshat? I don't see that.
It's Poshut. This is Poshut Ad Me'od. I'm saying Drush.
I call it Larry.
The goal in this world is to care about a person authentically. Not that a person should be a Cheftza de Mitzvah. The goal is to authentically care. Hashem wants you that if you look at a person, you'll only look at a person through the lens of the Ritzoyna, of what in Shemayim is the right thing. Do you have to chesed? You have to this? Really? That everything in life is so artificial. The Torah doesn't really care if you're sincere in caring. The ohavta l're'acha kamocha. When a person is not well, when a person has a problem, he thinks about, oh, I have to, he thinks about ruchnius.
That's what lishma is.
You think about ruchnius. I'm in pain. Oh, so ad shamayim means, it means, oh, lishma. Ad shamayim means until the heaven. Forget about what goes on in the upper worlds. Care about this world. Care about humanity. Care about your charem. That's lishma. That's what Hashem wants you to be so sincere. You're not thinking about the oilamois. When this person, he gave a bowl of soup to his friend in Shamayim, they were dancing, all these stories which make me sick. When this guy gave him a bowl of soup, the malachim were crying and they were dancing and they were doing all these things. Come on. Well, what is Judaism, a fairy tale?
The Al Shemayim is not talking about who he's thinking about. He's talking about what his reward is going to be. If he does it lishma, then it'll be Al Shemayim. His reward will be that.
That's selfish. Selfish. Who is interested in reward?
The mitzvah is much greater. It's Al Shemayim. It's not talking about.
I'm trying to reject that. I'm trying to reject that.
I know you're thinking that
what you're saying is the push-up shot. That's what they taught us. That's what they taught us in elementary school. But because the way you talk about reward, you give a kid, you go, you motivate them, you go to come to night, they'll give you some pizza, some ice cream, and some this, give you points, this, all these things. You get older, you realize it's not about the reward. Forget about the reward. You do things for the right reason. You do things.
You have to define what lishma means. Does lishma mean you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah? You're doing it for Hashem. Hashem wants you to do that.
What does Hashem want from you?
We have to define lishma.
Well, there are many levels. Look, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There's no question. Everything has to ultimately come back that you're doing l'shem shamayim. But what does Hashem want? What does Hashem want from you?
You're doing it because maybe you're not doing it because Hashem. You're doing it because you want the guy to think that you're a good guy.
So that's not
to call you a rav. or something.
Covered.
You're doing
that's
it.
Not the
so that's not Lashma.
They're calling you a good guy, that you're going to become guest of honor.
But I'm,
you know, people are going to like you.
No, but that's too simplistic.
That's a Lashma. You're not
no,
doing
but
it
I'm
for
saying,
the sake of the mitzvah.
That's, I'm trying to say
I
that
know
that's.
You're saying, oh, Madrega, fine, you
even
to
if you
about
think
the
about
person.
The reward. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says a person should not serve Hashem al menas lekabel pros.
Right, exactly.
The pros means in Shemayim, not the pros in getting the covered. Le'olam yishamish adam al menas shaloi lekabel pros. So
exactly.
What does that mean? It means I should serve not because of the covered,
right.
but I will get in Shemayim heaven. No, don't even think about getting olam haba. You're here to serve.
Absolutely.
The ultimate goal is shaloi amanas lekabel pras. And the pras is not money. It's not covered. It's not long life and health. It's in the next world. Don't think about what you're getting in the next world.
That's right.
Think about
that's
living
right.
In this world.
Is
so ad shamayim is lishma. When you're focusing on doing things for the benefit of this world, which is ad shamayim, not above. Don't look for the malachim in himmel. Ad shamayim, that's lishma. When your whole focus is everything I do is, what's going on in shamayim? The malachim are watching, they're recording, and my reward is getting greater. It's getting smaller, and when I come to shamayim achameh ve'eshem, they're going to judge me. That's shaloi lishma.
No one's arguing.
It's all good. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Well, that's part of who they have the shaloi
okay. Okay. So this is. Let's go to the next. Okay. The next. Now we go to the next content. It's minayim shagmils chasadim molar. How do the gmils chasadim molar? It's shenem arz in the pasuk chesed Hashem molar. It's minayim she min haaretz ad harakia. This pasuk. That's another chazal. Next mamah chazal room pasuk yudbeis. Pasuk Yud Beis Ruma Al Shemaim Elokim Rebbe Omer Hashem Yilochem Lochem Hamokoim Oise Lochem Nisim Ugvuros V'Atem Oimdim V'Shoyskim. Moshe said to Klal Yisrael the Yam. Moshe today is your side. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu Zuchuso. Moshe, we have a second part two of the shir is about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe's yahrzeit. Today's the mother of all yahrzeits. Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit. Today's the tainus.
Shemar.
We didn't say tachanun today.
You didn't say tachanun today. How can you not say? It was the fast today. You're supposed to shulchan aruch. You're supposed to fast today. How can you not say tachanun?
That's only the chevra kaddish.
Well, we didn't say tachanun this morning where I daven
today,
and I asked whether it was a birthday or a yahrzeit.
Best tefillah out there.
How can you not say Tachlin today? If there's any day to say Tachlin, today is the day.
Birthday,
no, yeah, it's a pell. How can you not say Tachlin today? Today is the day. The Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to fast today. Shulchan Aruch, how can you not say Tachlin today? This is not Rashbi, when he died, it was a celebration. When Moshe died, the difference is when Rashbi died, Rashbi wanted to go. He couldn't wait to go. He couldn't wait to get out of here. So, if you're happy to go, we're happy for you. Moshe Rabbeinu vo eschanan el Hashem bo eis limar. I don't want to die. I want to remain on this world. I want to be here and go with Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. It was the greatest tsar for Moshe Rabbeinu to die. If it's a tsar for Moshe, it's a tsar for us. The kvoidoy shel Adam is ritzoinoi. Is what he wants. Moshe did not want to die. It was a very painful day for Moshe Rabbeinu. And the male is painful for us. Next. So Moshe told them, you be quiet. All you got to do is praise Hashem. And look at all these words he says over here. Heyu mefarin, one, umeroy bemim, two, Umeshabachim is three, Umekalsim four, Umehadrin. Yes. And Pasuk Yud Beis. Five or six lines down. Umekalsim, Umehadrin, Vinoisim Shevach, Ugudu, I lost count, I lost track of the numbers. Shevach, Ugedulo, Tehila, Viteferis, Vilhodor, Vonetzach, Lemisha, Mulchama, Shaloi, King and Shenemar. This medrash is a very challenging medrash. Why?
because everyone who, there's no one that doesn't know the famous Gemara on Pesach, when you say that this comes at the Pesach, is there was a Talmud who got up to Daven Shmoneh Esrei before, I don't remember who it was in front of, and he said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Ve'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak Ve'Elokei Yaakov, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Hanoira, Ha'adir, Ha'azuz, Ha'amchubot, and he went on and on and on and on and on. It was a very long Shmoneh Esrei. And finally, Baruch Atah Hashem, again Avraham. And then after Shmoneh Esrei was over, the Rebbe said to him, what in the world did you just do? Siamtinu l'shvachei demorei. Did you indeed say every possible praise of the Ribbono Shel Olam? You killed Hashem with faint praise. Okay, faint.
You got?
What?
I like to say it. Is that all you got?
That's all you got? You can kill a person with feigned praise. I was very nasty to Shabbos. They were talking about it in Mishpacha magazine. They had a write-up of official Shachter. Okay, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. You know everyone knows what official Shachter is? I'm sure everyone knows official Shachter. So I said it was a beautiful write-up, but they killed him with feigned praise. There's a lot more. They could have said an infinite amount more. They could have said, you can say about everyone. Every time, you know, you write up Rav Chaim Kanievsky, they wrote a whole book. You know, there's everyone you can say about, you know, but sometimes you can really do it. Yeah, they said a couple of nice paragraphs, they put his picture on the cover, and they said a lot of nice things. But, you know, oh, come on, there's so much more. There's so much more. And at least you should give the impression in the article that there's so much more. And sometimes it's like, okay, this is it. This is it. There's nothing more to say. And it's a very challenging thing. Whenever you praise a person, it's a very challenging hespedim. When people give hespedim, it's a very dangerous art. When you give a hesped, at the end of the hesped, you have to say nice things, of course, but you have to leave the audience with the impression in a delicate way. There's so much more to say. Okay, that's a very critical element in hesped. Don't go and give a hesped with giving the impression there's nothing more to say. I said it all. You always have to leave over the direction of how much more there is about the person. So here, and that's exactly what it says in the Gemara, that it is forbidden for us to praise Hashem according to the letter of the law. It is categorically forbidden to praise Hashem, because whatever you're going to say is a teeny frack, teeny, it's not even mashu shemashu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's therefore, there's no way, when it comes to Hashem, there's no way you can do it. So therefore, it is basically categorically forbidden to even attempt to praise Hashem. So why then do we say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar, VaHanayra? So the Rebbe told the Talmud, I don't remember who it was in the Gemara, it's because it's Gzeres HaKosov. It's the Nevi'im Moshef, now Moshe Rabbeinu, he was Megale, that this you can say. It's an exception to the rule. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Only because Moshe Rabbeinu himself said Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar, VaHanayra in Chumash. That's the only reason we have a right to sin. Otherwise, we don't have even a right to say that. And they were certainly siamtinu l'shvachei demorei. You have a right. So now, after you know that Gemara, you look at this Mamech Chazal. It says over here that Moshe Rabbeinu, this pasuk is the source of Ruma. This pasuk is giving you a license to say whatever you want. Whatever you want, and go on and on and on. And in fact, in this Mamech Chazal, we go on and on and on. Look at all these expressions. It's unbelievable what it says. Woohoo! My high. What is the obvious answer? The obvious answer is one is in hindsight and one is b'shas maisa. B'shas maisa, when you're in a moment of sakana, then you do have a license to praise Hashem in order as a technique in being mevakesh hatzalah. But when you're not doing it b'shas maisa at a moment of sakana, you're just reflecting
about the past, then you can't do it. So when we daven Shona Esther and we open up the first bracha, even though you'll say, "Well, oh, we daven Shona Esther is an eighth tzara," it's true. It is an eighth. Every tefillah is an eighth tzara. Ramban, every tefillah you're in an eighth tzara. There are different types of eighth tzara. There's an eighth tzara when someone's shooting at you at this moment, and there's an eighth tzara of you wake up in the morning and the world's coming to an end. It's a different when you daven Shona Esrei, you're not in a state of panic. You're not in a state of panic. You have a lot of problems, but you're not in when you're on the battlefield and the Egyptians are shooting missiles at you, and in front of you is a dead end, that's different. Then a person has a license to express himself and acknowledge that Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, with no limitation. And that is the pasuk here. Rumo al Hashamayim Elim. This pasuk is the source, according to the Chazal, to give a person a free license to praise Hashem with every word he can possibly find in the dictionary, and not be in violation of what it says in the Siamtinu l'shvoche d'marei. You ought to do it. If not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Okel hagadol hagibor v'hanayra," it would be categorically forbidden. So what are you doing? Mitzat sheni, it says in this pasuk, "Ruma al shmaim elokim," praise Hashem to the highest level possible with every vocabulary word that you can find. What's the difference? Well, Chazal say, Hashem yilochem lochem. The Jewish people were caught between a rock and a hard place. Missiles were flying. They were approaching a dead end. Moses says, Hashem yilochem, what should we do? We're in a state of panic. When you're in a panic, then you're allowed. When you're in a matzav of panic, you're allowed to praise Hashem ruma. But when you're not in a moment of panic and you are reflecting upon the greatness of Hashem, then you're gonna, like the expression, you'll kill a person with faint praise. Then it's a different. Now, what's the psychology behind that? I don't know. You have to think about that. But you have here.
If somebody were to give five or six shvachas and then stop, somebody will come and say to him.
Siamtenu, he's mentioned that. That's the Gemara says. Siamtenu l'shvachay demarei. Is that it? Is it all you got, as Rav Michal said?
Whatever you stop, you've got the same problem.
Exactly. But over here, in this Maim Chazal, it says you have a license to say everything.
In Yishtabach, we say a lot of stuff. Yishtabach Shimcha, Lechonoyah, Shir, Rishvacha, Halel, Vizimra, Oz, Memshola, Pesach, Bedula, Gevura.
It's true. So how do we answer that? Yeah, you're right. There are 15 expressions there. 15 expressions in Yishtabach. You're right. How do we, I don't know. I never thought, how do we reconcile that? You do see here, this pasuk says Ruma. I just said the obvious difference between the two. The difference over here is here they are literally in the matzav of sakonis nefashas. When we daven, and obviously every tefillah is also a sakana, it's also an ace tzara. That's the machlekes, the Ramban. This is a very beautiful verse from Rav Herschel Schachter. Or maybe it's from Makubi, it's from Yosheber, Rav Herschel Schachter. And he says is that there's a steer machlekes from the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says that tefillah, if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam says that tefillah is not d'oraisa. The only tefillah d'oraisa is an ace tzara. To daven every single day is not a derive. I think it's the Rambam. It could be a mistake this whole way around. But let's assume.
The Rambam once a day, like women also.
Once a day. So is that a deraisa? Or even that's not a deraisa. Once a day. But is that a deraisa? Okay. I think the Rambam says only time it's a deraisa is when it's an ace tzara. Then when a person is in an ace tzara, it is a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. If things are okay, you know, nothing is perfect in this world, is a chiyuv to daven, but is it a d'oraisa? No. The Ramban says, no, every single day there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to daven. So I think the Rav, Rav Yosheber, says it's not a stira. The Ramban is just telling you the world of reality. Every single day is an eighth sara. It's true. There's no stira. There's no stira. You have to every single day. Is memela. Is a sar. That's how it is. Memela every day is a deraisa. So there's really no stira between the two. All right, so how to reconcile these two is a challenge. We'll leave it with this. And Yisham, tomorrow we're going to begin Noyach built a teva. Tomorrow we begin Nun Ches. Mizmar Nun Ches. Come tomorrow in your galoshes and your scuba diving gear. Oxygen tanks. And help us build the teva we're going to build tomorrow from Mizmar Noyach.